Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 169 of The Raw Verdict, recapping the highs and lows from WWE's flagship show, Monday Night Raw. I am your host and humble guide, Keela Cash. Thank you so much for joining me as week 171 of WrestleTopia continues. Happy Tuesday morning, afternoon, and evening to you all as another busy week in the worlds of WWE and AEW continues. And last night was Monday Night Raw going down live from a sold-out Allstate Arena in Chicago, Illinois, and that has been a hot streak for WWE as of late, selling out shows and drawing record numbers for non-PLE events in certain areas. And we are in a very important period in WWE. It's post-WrestleMania season, and it's time for the 2023 WWE draft going down imminently Friday on SmackDown, continuing next Monday on Monday Night Raw, which happens to be the go-home show for Backlash going down in a week's time in Puerto Rico on Saturday, May 6th. But it feels like we're going through the motions a little bit up until the draft to see where we stand regarding the rosters, who stays together as a tag team, who breaks up. But there is a major story that broke last night, and no, it's not CM Punk being backstage on Monday Night Raw for reasons, and he was interacting with a lot of people backstage, according to various reports, from PW Insider to Fightful Select to the Wrestling Observer. CM Punk was in fact in his own backyard at a WWE live event for the first time in damn near 10 years. And he was talking to some people, and then Vince McMahon remotely told him to leave because CM Punk is still under contract with AEW. I have no idea what the angle is, but I never thought I would see the day that Punk would roll up at a WWE show backstage in the year 2023. I did not have that on my bingo card at all, but I will say I had a fever dream many months ago when CM Punk initially had that outburst at All Out and got in the fight with the Elite backstage. That was an infamous moment in time in wrestling history, and I thought that was an untenable situation, that there is no going back, but apparently there is some going back as we got a show tentatively set for Saturday nights on TNT in June. We have the United Center back in play for maybe the Summer of Punk Part 3. I honestly don't know the game of play right now with what Punk did and why to be in the news. He is definitely the top story, and Tony Khan, I'm sure he's got thoughts on all of this as well. I can say for sure Paul Levesque and CM Punk had contact last night, and Vince told him to leave because, once again, he's still under contract with AEW despite everything that happened at All Out back in September 2022. So I don't know what the hell is going on. I think it might be a leverage play to say, let's test the waters. Let me mend some fences here. Let's not burn bridges. See where we go from here. But yeah, that was a moment that shocked everybody. I'm sure there'll be more details regarding Punk's excursion to Monday Night Raw later today. But yeah, it was something. And another something last night was Vince McMahon getting his hands back into the cookie jar by changing the show around. But it wasn't extreme, I will say that. Now, I don't know what he's going to do heading to the draft on Friday and Monday, but hopefully this is still a Triple H thing that he can mold the rosters the way he sees fit to make sure both brands are strong heading into the summer season. But the top story besides CM Punk appearing backstage in Monday Night Raw is the fact that we're going to have a brand new World Heavyweight Champion at Night of Champions in late May in Saudi Arabia. And it is going to be a tournament, I would presume, for the newly created WWE World Heavyweight Championship. I will say this for the belt. It is the long-lost love child of the Cruiserweight Championship and the old WCW World Heavyweight Championship from way back when, the big gold belt. And they melded these two together for this championship that looks a little gaudy to me in all reality. But it is a way to have a new champion because Triple H announced that Roman Reigns, when he's drafted on Friday or Monday, the brand that he's assigned to will be the brand he stays at. Period. He will not be a floating champion any longer. He will cross 1,000 days as champion by Night of Champions. So if he's going to be on SmackDown, good luck to who beats him for those titles when the time comes for that. But if he's not on Monday Night Raw, then I guess the Raw crew fights for this newly created WWE World Heavyweight Championship belt. Triple H mentions that Reigns had a very lax schedule, does not defend the title as often as he should, and therefore they want a working fighting champion on one of the brands moving forward, most likely Monday Night Raw, because Roman Reigns is a staple on Friday Night SmackDown on Fox. I don't expect that to change anytime soon. But the presentation, the announcement was good, but the belt, meh, but I will say it looks different from the WWE aesthetic belts we see for the ladies, Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, and of course, the undisputed WWE Universal Champion, Roman Reigns. I hope that he gets a leveled up belt to stop carrying around two belts moving forward. Same goes for the undisputed WWE tag team titles as well, but all in all, this was needed, but I don't want this new belt to be a consolation prize for not beating Roman Reigns, because that still must be the goal to make somebody after this prolific title run, point blank period. And a part of me still wants Cody Rhodes to be that guy. He's still beloved by the people, especially last night in Chicago. He came out to a huge ovation, which kicked off last night's show. And that, whoa, every time Kingdom hits, it gets louder and louder. And I got chills at WrestleMania. I got chills last night in the Shy when they sung for him, and he comes out there and he talks about Brock Lesnar and what he did to him a few weeks ago on Monday Night Raw. But Cody is medically clear to compete. He takes off his shirt and gets some catcalls from the ladies, gives him a little strip tease, throws his tie and his shirt in the crowd and reveals the scar from his torn pec from last year. Because let's not forget, in the very building he stands in, he performed at an astronomically high level with a torn pec in the worst pain of his life against Seth Rollins in a 5-star classic inside Hell in a Cell, the last match Cody had in WWE before he took time out for injury. And he wanted to thank the people for being with him that night, being in the moment and being aware of what they were witnessing, which was absolute greatness and insanity at the exact same time. And Cody basically tells Brock, hey, you want to put a scar on me? Feel free, but I'm not going to back down. I'm still going to be standing here at the end of the day. And that leads to Finn Balor coming out talking about, hey, I know about scars, 14 staples in my head after WrestleMania. And he says that Cody was screwed at WrestleMania by way of Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa, but he could have help by way of Judgment Day, that he can have protection against Brock Lesnar at Backlash next Saturday on Peacock if he simply just puts his ego aside and joins Finn Balor, Damian Priest, SmackDown Women's Champion Rhea Ripley, and Dominic Mysterio, has benefited so much by, according to Finn, surpassing his father in every way. And Cody says, well, I know what you're trying to do, mutual respect here between us, but I decline your offer. I can handle things on my own. And Finn Balor threatens Cody by saying, either you with Judgment Day or you are against us. And Cody says, well, if it's like that, I am medically cleared to compete. Let's have a match tonight, one-on-one. Finn Balor's down for a little shook by Cody's challenge. The match takes place during the third hour. It's very competitive. Good back and forth action. Finn Balor does ground Cody with a sling blade, a DDT at one point as well. Cody fights back with a disaster kick, and he lands a pedigree after avoiding the coup de grace before hitting the crossroads one time on Finn Balor for the win. A great victory for Cody Rhodes. He goes into the crowd to celebrate. Lovely moment, and the crowd absolutely loves Cody Rhodes. He's so over right now, and I think he and Brock will deliver at Backlash next Saturday in Puerto Rico. It will be a bruising, brutal battle, but Cody is game for it as always. Then we have the LWO, Santos Escobar, Cruz del Toro, and Joaquin Wilde versus the Usos and Solo Sikoa. And this match was a lot of fun. We had Cruz del Toro and Joaquin Wilde wipe out the Usos with dives on the outside, and Santos takes out Solo with a tope against the announce table as we go to commercial break. We come back and Cruz del Toro lands an outstanding Phoenix Splash on Jimmy for a near fall. But unfortunately for him, we have Solo drop Joaquin Wilde with a Uranagi on the announce table. Then knowing that he is all by his lonesome and knowing that Solo is within line of sight, we have Cruz go midair for coast to coast, and he gets hit with the Samoan spike out of nowhere. And then Jimmy and Jay land the 1D on Cruz for the 1-2-3 as the bloodline stands tall. And Jimmy and Jay vow to win back the undisputed WWE tag team titles against KO and Sami Zayn this Friday on SmackDown in the WrestleMania main event rematch. And they would do it in the name and honor of the Tribal Chief, the head of the table, the undisputed WWE Universal Champion Roman Reigns. And we get My Brother's Keeper Part 1 and 2, courtesy of the Usos and Sami Zayn, as Sami tries to tell Jay, are you sure about this? Or are you sure you're ready to carry the burden of trying to win this match in the name of your cousin? And Jay's like, I've made my choice, whether I like it or not. You've made your choice, and I got to do what I got to do. I'm beating you for those titles on Friday Night SmackDown. Jimmy gets wind of this later in the show. He's pissed off that Jay's talking to Sami, and Jimmy lets Sami know that, hey, I'm not the only one that's got to deal with family, because you consider Kevin your family. And if you lose these titles, he hasn't forgotten what you did to him, the backstabbing, the kicks in the face, literally, that we stood there and co-signed on. So don't worry about my brother. Worry about your brother. Worry about what happens if you lose on Friday. His reaction, will he be your friend still? Or will he remember everything you've done to him leading up to this moment? And that plant seed of doubt heading into this match on Friday. And I cannot wait to see how it goes both ways on Fox. Next up is Bianca Belair teaming with the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan versus Damage Control's Bayley, Io Sky and Dakota Kai. And initially, Io Sky wanted to face Bianca Belair one-on-one, but Bayley wanted a trios match, and Io Sky gave her the side eye, like, who in the hell is we? I didn't want this. You wanted this. I'm not here for this mess. And that carries over into this match as we have Raquel using Liv Morgan as a wrecking ball against Damage Control early on. Then we have Bayley trying to trip Bianca Belair midway through this match, but unfortunately for her, she gets dropped with the KOD. Io Sky is late breaking up the cover, which is adding tension between her and Bayley as Io Sky faces Bianca Belair for the Raw Women's Championship at Backlash next Saturday. And I can sense WWE splitting Damage Control during the draft to keep them together, which will lead to Dakota Kai and Io Sky flipping on Bayley when it's all said and done. She's been doing too much lately, and when you don't have successes under your belt, it might be time for a swerve by her partners. But as always, we shall see. Next up is the Street Profits, Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins versus a team of Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin. Shelton powerbombs Montez Ford for a quick near fall, but ultimately it is the Street Profits having their moment to shine with Angelo Dawkins fighting back, landing a spine buster on Cedric Alexander, and Montez Ford gets the hot tag and lands the cash out frog splash on Cedric for the 1-2-3, and Corey Graves is teasing this might be the last time we see the Profits together on Monday Night Raw. He expects them to be split up. It's very possible because I think it's time for the Montez Ford singles push to commence. Elimination Chamber back in February was a clear sign this guy had gotten X. He was clearly over with the Montreal crowd, who wanted him to win the U.S. Championship that night against Theory, Seth Rollins, Johnny Gargano, Bronson Reed, and Damian Priest. He was a standout in that match, and I firmly believe WWE sees a vision for him in the next 3 to 4 years. So here's hoping Montez Ford gets a cushy spot in the draft alongside Angelo Dawkins, because Doc has also been putting in that gym work and has improved rapidly in the ring over the last year or two. Next up is Austin Theory talking about his accolades, his greatness being on display at WrestleMania against John Cena, and how no one is on his level. And he looks at the new WWE World Heavyweight Championship and wants to add that to his collection plate as well. That leads to Lashley coming out to let him know that, hey, sometimes you got to step up instead of running all the time, and maybe you need to realize how great you are instead of trying to find easy way outs to victory. And then Theory asks Lashley why he didn't have a match at WrestleMania if he's so good at making matches. The fans ooh and ah at that shade because they know about the Bray Wyatt tea that never was at WrestleMania for reasons, and Bobby Lashley threatens to beat Austin Theory's ass, and then Bronson Reed comes out and it is a 2-on-1 beatdown. They are going after the left shoulder of Bobby Lashley, weaken him, but Bronson Reed's like, it's every man for himself. Let me go up top here and let me splash the champ with the tsunami splash on the top rope, and the fans pop for that. So I can conceivably believe that Bronson Reed's got next for the United States Championship. He is a great talent, got personality for days. Let him shine, let him cook, because this U.S. title match between Lashley and Bronson Reed in Theory should be a lot of fun, even though the draw for me would be Lashley versus Bronson Reed by themselves vying for the U.S. championship, maybe at a future date post Backlash, of course. Meanwhile, Mustafa Ali gets a rare win in his hometown of Chicago by rolling up Chad Gable for the 1-2-3. He couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. This positivity gimmick is wearing on me a little bit. He's a Zen god. I love Mustafa Ali. He has a lot of charisma and the talent to get over whatever he's doing right now. It's a no for me, but I hope they realize the talent they have in this guy to truly stand out in a good way. He got a little babyface pop last night by way of being a native of Chicago, but he needs more than that to be a more viable asset to Monday Night Raw moving forward. Next up is Seth Rollins coming out to a great pop wearing a zebra print suit with the back cut out. Like, this guy is egregious, but I love him for it. And he's talking about the big pretty gold belt on the outside and how he thinks he's worthy of being a champion, a fighting champion who's here 24/7, who's not going to be a part-time guy doing the bare minimum. He's about being a fighting champion who changed the industry standard from what we used to be from 3 or so years ago. Let there be a champion who's willing to go in the trenches and defend and fight for that title on a regular basis. And Seth's fired up. The fans love him for it. And then we get Omos coming out alongside MVP, who heaps praise on Seth Rollins. Words of choice withstanding, saying that Omos is all about making moments, having the big matches, and he thinks beating Seth Rollins would be a singular achievement for him. And Rollins is like, well, I'm not scared of you, even though I should be in some ways, because Omos, listen, you are a once-in-a-generation talent because you're born that way. I'm a once-in-a-generation talent because I made myself that way. And at Backlash, I'm basically going to make you famous. You're going to have the match of your life. I'm going to shine you up real nice, curb stomp your ass, and walk away with the fans singing my song. And Rollins drops the mic. He walks away unscathed. He survives. And I love that for him. His swag is just on point right now. And I know his character is polarizing. I totally get it. But if the fans are singing your song, they're cheering for you repeatedly, they want you to be champion, then whatever's working is working and you can't knock it. So respect the hustle. I respect Rollins because when he's in there against either the very best or very green people, he will give you your best match ever. And dare I say, Omos might have his best match to date against Seth Rollins. And he had a pretty good outing against Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania a few weeks ago, but this is a different level in terms of technique. And Rollins is going to have to do some things to make this match stand out in a good way by next Saturday for Backlash in Puerto Rico. And then we get to our final match of the night, which is Rey Mysterio versus Damian Priest. And this was a good match for the most part. We have Rey mount to come back with a springboard crossbody. Rey goes for the 619 but runs to a big boot by Priest, who lands a flatliner on Rey for a near fall. From there, we have Priest grab a steel chair to attack Rey Mysterio. Rey's going to drop kick Priest off the apron. Priest grabs Rey for a choke slam, but Rey is going to fight and land a 619. He goes up top, but Priest is going to chuck a chair in Rey's face for the DQ. And from there, Damian Priest is beating down Rey Mysterio, lands the South of Heaven choke slam on Rey. He takes apart the announce table, is going to do some bad things to Rey until Bad Bunny's music hits. Bad Bunny comes out to a great reception from the Chicago crowd. He has a kendo stick in hand and he proceeds to go after Damian Priest, beating his ass with said kendo stick. He is wailing on Priest. Priest is able to get on the announce table at one point, but Bad Bunny sweeps his legs and continues to beat him down with said kendo stick, and Priest runs away. And Priest and Bad Bunny have some words, with Bad Bunny letting him know that, I am not hosting Backlash anymore. I am coming to Puerto Rico to whoop your ass in a street fight one-on-one. And Damian accepts, and that should be a very fun match at Backlash in Puerto Rico next Saturday. This is going to be like a hometown reunion for both guys repping their country respectively, and it's going to be a raucous environment in Puerto Rico. And this wraps up a pretty solid Monday Night Raw. Bad Bunny being on WWE television is still incredibly surreal. This guy is the top artist on planet Earth right now in terms of ticket sales. He headlined Coachella a couple of weekends ago, and he is just that guy, the moment, and his popularity cannot be denied. And I'm so glad that WWE fans have grown to respect and appreciate Bad Bunny, a true lover of this business. He was very impressive at WrestleMania a couple of years ago, and he was equally impressive at the Royal Rumble as well, competing against some heavy hitters in WWE, and held his own. He's in the Celebrity Wrestling Hall of Fame alongside Logan Paul and Pat McAfee. That's elite company for me, and I expect him to deliver another entertaining match at Backlash next Saturday on Peacock, live from Puerto Rico. And on that note, this wraps up a pretty solid Monday Night Raw. This is the last Raw before the WWE draft, which starts on Friday for SmackDown. And I cannot wait to see how the rosters are reset, how they will look, and how we can maintain the brand split moving forward. But most of all, try to keep both shows above water as we are knee deep in the NBA and NHL playoffs. The ratings have been nibbled a bit for both shows and AEW as of late, but the damage has been minimal for now. But the deeper we get into things, the ratings will take a hit until at least June-ish. And then after that, it's smooth sailing at least until the NFL regular season for Monday Night Raw, which will be another trying time heading into the end of this year. But until then, Let's enjoy the shows. Let's hope that WWE and AEW can give us something to smile and be excited about in terms of fresh feuds, great matches, and wonderful PLEs and pay-per-views as we enter the summer season in a couple of months' time. And on that note, this wraps up episode number 169 of The Raw Verdict, recapping the highs and lows from WWE's flagship show, Monday Night Raw. Hope you enjoyed it. As always, you can follow me on social media at Lady Wrestling X on Twitter. They can find me tweeting and gramming. I believe podcast shows are dropping the semi-daily recapping Monday Night Raw, NXT, AEW Dynamite, Friday Night SmackDown on Fox, and AEW Rampage on TNT. You know what to do. Search WrestleTopia and follow me on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Google Podcasts, Buzzsprout, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn plus Amazon Alexa and Spotify. I will be back when I'll be back. Honestly speaking, I will try to get back on schedule post WWE draft. It's kind of this malaise right now between now and Backlash, and I want to make sure everything is reset post Backlash, get back on schedule regarding all things WWE and AEW. Very frenetic schedule right now due to the playoffs, so please treasure my head, not my heart, if you don't get another show from me this week wrestling wise but I'll try to peek in when I can. But until then, enjoy your Tuesday, stay safe out there, and don't forget to wash those hands. See you later, boys and girls. Take care.